spout, and Pock suspected she had a broken collarbone. Her face was pale and sweaty, but she also managed her bow and thanked Pox for the honor. By this time, two of the examiners were out, one with a broken collarbone and one with a cracked wrist. Pox made her way past three bouts going on and lined up again. She did not feel particularly tired, and so put herself in line for immediate choice. She had another easy bout, which she drew out to near 100 strokes for the candidate's benefit, and then watched the last two finish. Now the family sponsor for each new knight carried out the new armor which the knights had earned. While the knights changed into their armor, Pox hoped the woman with a broken collarbone would not have to struggle into a mail shirt, the examiners also changed. Then the crown prince formally greeted each new knight by name and presented the tiny gold symbol of the order. When he was through, the high marshal stepped forward once more. "We welcome these new knights to the Order of the Bells, and ask Gerd's grace and the wisdom of Luop to guide them in their service. At this time, any outside challenge may be offered. Is it so?" "Challenge!" a voice called from the far end of the hall, near the outside door. A startled silence broke into confusion. The High Marshal stilled it with a gesture. "Name your challenge," he said. A figure in plate armor, with a visored helm, stepped into view. At the same time, someone in Varakai colors stood in the seats.
"High Marshal, I call challenge on Duke Kiri Phelan. My champion is below, a veteran soldier from his company."
Again the hubbub, stilled only when the High Marshal shouted them down. By then Phelan was on the floor, surrounded by the king's squires and his own companions. Pox recognized Captain Doran and Selfer, the Duke's squire.
"Phelan," said the High Marshal, "how say you?
For what cause do you challenge, Varakai?"
The Duke's voice was calm.
"For your treachery to the crown of Saya," he yelled back.
"I protest," said the crown prince from his place. "This is not the occasion. The matter has not been settled by the council."
"It is my right."
"You are not the Duke," said the crown prince. "Where is he?"
"He was indisposed, Your Highness, and could not attend."
"Do you claim to speak for him?"
"He would agree with my judgment of Phelan," said the other. "As for challenge, and this challenger, that is my own act."
"Then may it rest on you," said the prince. "I will not permit Phelan to take up this challenge, Your Highness." "No, Duke Phelan, as long as you are a vassal of this court."
Pox saw the Duke's reaction to that. He had not missed the prince's emphasis.
"You will obey. You may not take it up. You may, however, name a champion."
Pox was moving before any of the others.
"If my lord Duke permits, I will."
"A paladin?" asked the Varakai. "You would champion this duke? But I forget, you also are his veteran, aren't you?"
"And nothing more," said the other fighter.
Pox wondered who it was. She did not quite recognize the voice. The duke bowed stiffly to the prince and the challenger.
"I would be honored, lady, by your service in this matter. Yet all know you came on quest. I would not interfere."
The Varakai and his attendants had also climbed down to the floor, and now stood opposite the Duke. Pox and the mysterious fighter advanced to the space between them. She noted that the other matched her height, but seemed to move a little awkwardly in armor, as if unused to it. The High Marshal raised his arm to signal them. When it fell, Pox and the stranger fell to blows at once. The stranger was strong. Pox felt the first clash all